Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Uncle Jeff, have you seen the last piece of pumpkin pie?
What did it look like?
Come on, you're like 50 years old. You should know how pie looks.
Jeff, 50? Oh, come on. Can you even count to 50?
Uncle Jeff, I got some questions for you.
Yes?
Why do we have turkey on Thanksgiving?
Because when cooked properly, every 4 or 5 years, it's delicious.
Okay, so then why would we have green bean casserole then?
Touché.
Why does it have a lip plate? But that's the pie.
Clearly it's not stopping you.
Why did Mom have a full plate of stuffing when she's on keto?
Because carbs are comforting.
Why can't I just lick my plate?
If I'm in charge of the dishes, I actually encourage that.
Why are there no unicorns in the Bible? Why am I not allowed to sit close to the TV? Why does water taste different in Nana's house?
Why isn't Grandpa allowed to have salt?
Why is gravy brown?
Why am I not allowed to touch the air freshener?
Why does Cooper pick his nose so much?
Why does Mom call me by my sister's name?
Why do we plant all the time? Why can't I eat grass? Why can't I sit in Dad's chair? Why is Sunday school called Sunday school? Why do cows have four stomachs? Why do parents whisper when they get mad? Why do old people write in cursive? Why do babies have no teeth? Why is baseball so boring? Why do fish have no lungs? Why is Thanksgiving before Christmas? I know why.
You know why what?
I know why Thanksgiving comes right before Christmas.
Okay. Tell me. Why does Thanksgiving come right before Christmas?
Because it reminds us to be thankful that God sent us Jesus.
I never thought of that before. I like that. All right, now, hit me with some of that whipped cream, girl.
Oh, that's good.
I'm having it on my face.
He is good, and his love does endure forever, and I hope and I pray that you and yours have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday this week. I pray that your time with your family and with friends is just full of great moments together. Maybe not so many questions, but maybe some really great moments over some really good food and laughter and telling of great stories. You know, speaking of stories and telling stories, I heard a story this past week that has really just kind of been sticking with me as I've just recalled it and recounted it. I want to share it with you this morning. It's the story of a man who really enjoyed being outside. Anybody enjoy being outside lately and just kind of seeing the trees on fire as the leaves are turning color? I'm colorblind, but I can see, man, something's happening in those trees and in the leaves. I can't imagine what you see, but I'm seeing something's changing up there. Well, this man loved to be outside. He particularly enjoyed going to this one particular park and just enjoying the beauty in nature out at this wonderful, wonderful park. This park, it was nestled at the base of these glorious pine trees that lined these incredibly beautiful mountains. Next to them, there was this amazingly beautiful lake that was there out at this park. It was right next to this picturesque meadow that was just teeming with swaying grasses, and there was beautiful, beautiful wildflowers all outside of this meadow. It was a park that was just centered right in the middle of perfect beauty. And if you were to go there, like this man who often would go there, it just exuded a peacefulness and just brought great enjoyment every single time that this man went to visit this park. And although this man enjoyed going to this beautiful park, he wasn't alone. There were other people that were enjoying the park and the surroundings that were out there, but sometimes they enjoyed them in different ways than this man did. And sometimes they actually would, at the end of their time there, they would leave some of their trash behind, and they wouldn't maybe take care of it quite as well as this one particular man who just loved going to this park would. And yet the man, he didn't really notice the other people. He didn't really notice that they were leaving behind some trash, because he was so enthralled in the beauty, in the majesty, in the peacefulness, and just the enjoyment that he experienced being in that park. And then one day this man returned to the park, as he did many other days, and he was there and he was enjoying the park as he often did. And at this point, he noticed that there was actually an advertisement that was located out at the park that he went to. It was out by the lake. And so he went over and he read this advertisement, and it was actually a job opening that was posted for someone who loved being outside, for someone who loved making sure that the beauty of a place like this park was kept beautiful and peaceful, and a place where people could come and enjoy themselves. And so the man thought, wow, this is the job for me. All I need to do is make sure that any trash that's left behind gets picked up and put away, and I could take care of that. Man, maybe I should apply for this job. This sounds like a perfect job for me. I love being near enough, the man thought, to smell the pine trees that line the mountains, and I love seeing the glistening water of the lake, and man, I love being able just to stroll through the meadow and the tall grass and just take in the beauty of the wildflowers. This is awesome. I could apply for this job and get paid to do it if I was offered this job. This is my favorite place. Sign me up. And so the man applied for the job, and he interviewed for the job, and he got this job, and he's thinking, this is awesome. This is going to be great. We're going to get paid to come to the place that I love to come to and experience the beauty and the peace of this place. And so he started his job, and he would return day after day. And as the days went by, the man began more and more to become frustrated every time he would come to the park, because he kept finding trash that the people who would also go to the park just kept leaving behind. And it was his job to pick up the trash and to throw it away. And man, he just kind of found himself after a while getting angry when he would come to the park. And he began getting mad when he would see people coming to his park, because every time they would come, they would leave something behind. And it got to the point where this man, all he would do every time he would come to the park is just look for the next piece of trash. And every time he would look for the next piece of trash, he would always find another piece of trash, and he'd have to throw it away. And he was just getting frustrated and frustrated and frustrated more and more and more, because he always seemed to find one more piece of trash as he's troping through the meadows and he's stomping around in the mountains and he's sludging around the lake. He would always find one more piece of trash, and he'd put it in his bag and have to go throw it away. And what used to be a place that he always loved to go, where he would smell the pines and he would gaze at those mountains and he would appreciate the lake and he would just meander through that meadow, noticing the beauty of the flowers, all of that got consumed by looking for trash. And the moral of the story was that we tend to find what we focus on. We tend to find what we focus on. Because you see, there was trash throughout that park before the man ever got the job. He just never went there focused on finding the trash. He was focused on other aspects before he ever got the job. Focused on enjoying his surroundings and the beauty and the peacefulness and all that was good. And I tell you that story this morning as an introduction to our final look into this little three-part series that we've been in. We're wrapping up in this little letter that a man named Jude wrote. Jude was the half-brother of Jesus. And today we conclude our series that we've just been calling, Hey Jude, Who Do You Listen To? Who do you listen to? Because you see, if we're not careful, as we read through Jude, we can find ourselves getting frustrated. We can find ourselves getting angry. We can find ourselves getting just kind of put out with the world around us in which we live. And perhaps it's because all we're focusing on is the stuff that's bad, the stuff that's wrong, rather than allowing ourselves to hear and to see and remember, man, there's also a lot of things that are good and a lot of things that are right, a lot of things that are beautiful. Now, let me be clear about something. Please don't mix the metaphor from that story that I just shared with the message this morning. When I refer to trash, okay, I'm never referring to people, okay? I'm not ever equating the two with trash and people, okay? People are precious creations of the Lord, precious creations created in the image of God. Sin is trash. Okay, sinful choices can create trash and trashy byproducts or trashy landscapes. And let me also be clear, we all have the capacity to create trash from the sin in our lives. So as we move in and through the text this morning, and as I refer to trash and beauty, give me a little latitude there if you would, okay? I'm not ever talking about an individual being trash, okay? Because people are precious in the sight of their Creator. Now, is there trash in the parks of the lives that we live today? Yeah, absolutely there is. There absolutely is. However, there's also some real beauty. There's some real beauty. There's some real peace. There's joy to be experienced in that same space as well. And as we read through this little letter that Jude wrote, we see the brother of Jesus certainly highlighting some trash that's crept into the church, coming from the lives of false prophets, false teachers, as they have been sowing misinformation, sowing lies, sowing half-truths, but not the whole truth. And yet there's also some real beauty that Jude points out as well. As those who are trying to follow Jesus, he's saying, man, there's beauty in this life, there's beauty around us here, and we must not miss that while also noticing that there is some trash that needs to be dealt with. So if you have your Bible, would you take it, would you open it to Jude? It's at the back of your Bible, right before the book of Revelation. Today we're going to focus on verses 17 through 25. That's going to conclude this little short letter that Jude wrote. And as Jude starts his letter, he's pointing out beautiful things about the faith that followers of Jesus enjoy and that he enjoys in verses 1 through 3 before he then starts to identify some trash in the park that begins in verse 4 and following. So look back with me. Let's read through verses 1 through 3 and just kind of notice some of this beauty coming forth out of Jude's pen. Jude chapter 1, verse 1, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. Look at all this good stuff. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Those are all good things. Verse 3, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, that's a good thing, right? That's a beautiful thing, our common salvation. He says, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Let's stop there for a moment. Beauty, 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 he's writing about here. When he speaks of goodness and mercy and peace and love and salvation, all good stuff that Jude is pointing out And then starting here in verse 4, the focus begins to shift to identifying these false prophets, these false teachers, who in a sense are leaving the trash of misinformation and falsehood all around. Look what he says in verse 4. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So right here, Jude is beginning to make a shift in verse 4. He's shifting from the beauty that we as followers of Jesus all enjoy to now beginning to shine the spotlight, so to speak, on the trash that's coming forth from the false prophets. He calls them ungodly people who are living lives in the exact opposite way that God outlines that we are to live if we truly are followers of Jesus. In fact, Jude says that these people who call themselves Christians, they actually pervert the grace of God by the choices that they make, especially, Jude goes on to say, as it pertains to the expressions of their own sexuality. And their actions and their words even end up denying who Jesus really is, the Lord and the King of our lives. Trash, 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 in the midst of some real beauty. And yet Jude just cannot ignore it. He can't just stick his head in the sand like an ostrich and just say, oh, this is fine. No, everything's good. No, Jude calls out the trash in the park. Being distributed and left by these false teachers, these false prophets. And then from verses 5 through 16, which we covered last week, Jude points out piece after piece after piece of trash that's coming from the lives of these disobedient people who defy what God has outlined for people to live life God's way, that's just littering the goodness of the life that God has created us to live and to enjoy if we're His followers. And we pick it up in verses 17 through 25. With Jude writing these words, I'll point out some of the beauty and some of the trash as we move along here. Look with me in verse 17. Let's read through to 25. Jude says, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions." Trash. "It's these who cause divisions." Trash. "Worldly people," trash, "devoid of the Spirit," trash. "But you, beloved," beauty, "building yourselves up in your most holy faith," beauty, "and praying," beauty, "in the Holy Spirit," beauty, "keep yourselves in the love of God for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life," beauty. "And have mercy on those who doubt," beauty, "save others by snatching them out of the fire," beauty, "to others show mercy with fear," beauty, "hating even the garment stained by the flesh." Now watch Jude just point out beauty, 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 over and over in just these final two verses here, verses 24 and 25, verses of blessing. "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So much beauty in there. So much beauty. And as I've just been reading Jude over and over and over again over these past few weeks, I keep thinking about the man in the park who first enjoyed it, loved it, experienced it for what it was supposed to be. But after a little while, all he could see was the trash. And he lost sight of what was still there, the beauty. And it was all due to his focus. It's all due to his focus. And you know what? Jude doesn't do that. Jude sees the beauty. He acknowledges the beauty. And then he does point out the trash that's being left behind by those defiling the park, so to speak. And Jude addresses the trash. He warns people who are followers of Jesus about it. And he gives instructions to followers of Jesus about how to navigate life where it exists. And then he ends with what? Beauty. He ends with the beauty. What am I getting at here? I think we need to be mindful of who and what we focus on in our lives. Of who and what we listen to in our lives. Because if all we do is turn on the news and all we hear is this echo of bad, 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 trash, 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 we need to call a timeout, okay? We need to call a timeout. We need to hit the pause button in our life. And we need to just take a step back and begin to identify what it is that we are focusing on, what it is that we are listening to and consuming most of the time. And it may be that we need to just kind of hit the reset button in our life. And we need to begin to wash our mind with the good word of God. And wash our mind with the promises of God. And wash our mind with the hope found in God that's articulated in His word. When's the last time you just double-clicked often on this? And allowed beauty to begin to take its rightful place. More of God's word, more of the promises, more of the hope found in God. Now, does this mean that we stick our head in the sand like that ostrich we mentioned ago and just go, oh, there's not any trash. This is all fine. We don't need to worry about what we listen to. We don't need to worry about what we look at. What's beautiful is all we need to look at all the time. No, I'm not saying, nor is Jude saying, that we don't need to be informed people, that we don't need to be mindful of what's going on around us that may not always be beautiful. We need to be aware of some trash. I'm not saying you need to be naive. We need to pay attention to people like Jude who call out and warn of what's not right, what's bad, what's trash. We never enjoy who God is in all of His fullness if all we're focused on is the trash. And so what I'm suggesting is maybe we could begin to balance out what it is that we're listening to and be mindful of what it is that we tend to focus on and where our attention is all throughout our day. Because the deal is, if all you do is fill your mind with doom and gloom and the judgment of God, you're probably going to live a frustrated and an angry life that is negative most of the time. And quite frankly, nobody wants to be around that. Who wants to be around grumpy all the time? Not me. And you know who else probably doesn't? The people who are seeking truth that's found in the person of Jesus. At some point, we've got to remember the beauty. We've got to remember the good. We've got to remember the joyful and those peaceful parts of life that God provides for us right here on earth as it is in heaven. Think about it for a second. We're going to taste some really, really good stuff this week, most likely. But when's the last time you really tasted and saw that the Lord really is good? He really is good. Yeah, I mean, we need to acknowledge the trash around us as Jude does. Look back in verses 17 through 19 with me. He's acknowledging the trash. He says, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time, there'll be scoffers following their ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit." Pointing out some trash. However, watch Jude balance that back out and bring into our focus some of the things that are really good and beautiful. The truth that we can enjoy and find hope in as followers of Jesus. Look in verses 20 and 21. He's going to exhort us to build ourselves up in the faith. That's a good thing. To keep praying in the Holy Spirit. That's a beautiful thing. And to keep ourselves in the love of God. That's a great thing to think about. Look at verse 20. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith." He's saying never quit growing. Never quit learning. Never quit studying and practicing these spiritual disciplines of the faith. He's saying, be active in your faith. Get off your blessed assurance and exercise some of those spiritual muscles that may be atrophying because all you're doing is clicking from news feed to news feed. He's saying, wash your mind, wash your heart, wash your soul. Practice what you believe. Don't just agree, put it in action. Serve someone else. Bless someone else. Be an answer to prayer. He's saying, man, your spiritual workouts need to be producing some healthy muscles. And one of those, he says, is praying in the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 21. "Keep yourselves in the love of God." What does that mean? Keep yourselves in the love of God. That means keep being obedient to who God says you need to be in His Word. Let me tell you something. You will always be blessable if you remain obedient to God's Word. You will always be blessable if you choose to remain obedient to God's Word. But when people begin to wander out of bounds of what God says to do and what God says to be in His Word, we forfeit that blessing that could be ours. Stay obedient, beloved, and stay blessable in God's love. He says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." Jude, right here, he's talking about this intimate relationship, this intimate life relationship that can be experienced right now with Jesus. this beautiful life that he's created us to enjoy, the peaceful life. It's an empowered life. Life, yes, that may have some trash around it that we need to be mindful of, that we certainly need to deal with, be aware of, need to know how to navigate, but not only focus on the trash. When there is such beauty in this relationship with our King to enjoy now that leads to eternal life now and throughout eternity, that's what he created you to experience. It's what he created me to experience. And Jude is saying here, friends, don't miss that. Don't miss that. While being mindful of trash that certainly is around us, that's present, that can be harmful, that can be disruptive to the beauty that we have in our relationship with Jesus, be aware of the junk and the trash and the falsehood, but don't let that become the center of your life. Don't let that become the center of who you are and what you focus on. Don't let that be the only thing that you're listening to and being influenced by all the time. There is beauty to behold and to enjoy and beauty to dance to, beloved. That's what Jude's saying here. And I love what Jude says, that our posture and our engagement should be with those who are dealing out some trash and dealing with the trash. Look what he says in verses 22 and 23. He says, "And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." Jude has a heart for people. Can't you see that? He's not just ripping people and judging people. He's in a discerning way saying, man, we need to engage with all people. He wants people to experience the mercy and the grace and the beauty of Jesus. To give people some space and some grace even to doubt. But still, love them, to engage with others. When we look at their life, we see them just going off the deep end into a trash heap. He's saying, don't just write them off. Engage with them. Don't just go along to get along. Engage with them. Speak the truth and love. Have some genuine concern for people and for their salvation and for their eternity. It's really interesting phrasing that Jude uses here at the end of verse 23 about what he says, hating even their garments that are stained by the flesh. It's interesting word choices here that Jude is penning in the original language. In this word for garment in the original language, it's actually the clothing that the people of that day wore underneath their outer tunics. In other words, it's their underwear. That's what he's writing about here. And so, I mean, think about it. Jude's being pretty descriptive in his writing. To be stained by the flesh means to be stained with bodily functions. That's what he's talking about here. And one scholar says, Jude is saying, just as nobody wants to handle somebody else's dirty underwear and be defiled physically, so we should be extremely wary of getting too close to spiritual defilement of those corrupted by the false teachers. What does that mean? He's saying you and I, we need to live with some boundaries in our lives about what we will engage in and what we will not engage in, where we will go and where we will not go, what we will allow into our life and into our mind and into our homes and what we will not. He's saying, men and women, be wise, be kind, be merciful, but be wise in what you do. Be wise in how you exercise your freedom in Christ. Be mindful about what you eat and what you drink and how you engage. Be very aware in what you do. And do whatever it is that you do for the glory of God. And as you do, remember these parting words of beauty and peace and hope and encouragement that come from Jude's pen in verses 24 and 25. Read with me again. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. I love these last two verses. Great verses to memorize. Great verses to read all throughout this week, especially as we're moving into a week of Thanksgiving. The picture that comes to mind as we really absorb these last two verses here is of that little child just learning to walk. You know, the wobbly walk. You know, that's usually where a scar is going to come at some point in time. Oh, golly, I didn't get there in time. And they always find the coffee table. Unbelievable. I've got a coffee table scar right here. You know, or the brick that's, oh, you just can't quite get there. Yeah, it's the wobbly steps of the little kid, the starting and the stopping and the stumbling along, trying to catch their balance, and you as the parent or grandparent trying to reach them just before they face plant. And I love it when mom or dad comes along and they hold those little hands. Sometimes it's with little hands over fingers, and sometimes it's the whole daddy hand or mama hand over their little hands. And they're just right here, and they walk with them. And they keep them from face planting and keep them from stumbling. And they get their legs underneath them, and they keep walking, and they get a little more confidence, and they move forward step by step until they can do it themselves. That's a great picture of our God. The God who keeps us from stumbling. Do you see that in verse 24? What a great word picture. That's who God is. The God who's always going to reach those hands out and go, I'm going to walk with you. If you'll keep reaching up, I'll keep holding on. Even when you try to squirm away, I'm still reaching for you. And he keeps holding us up and holding our hands and encouraging us with truth and with hope and with beauty and with peace, pointing out some trash along the way, but not to the extent that all we do is focus on what's wrong. We also focus on what's right. And so again, the question that's been the baseline for this whole series is this: who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? Beware of the trash, but don't be consumed. Remember the truth. Wash your mind in the Word of God. Let the beauty of the promises of God remind you who you are as a follower of Jesus, as a child of the King, and know that He is good, and He is beautiful, and He is wonderful, and He is worthy of praise, and He's worthy of thanksgiving. Think with me for a second. What would your life and your heart and your mind and your soul begin to look like if this week of Thanksgiving you chose to fast and you're going, wait a minute, you asking me to fast from food during the week of Thanksgiving? Are you crazy? I'm not asking that, okay? Let me just tell you this, I ain't doing that. Forget that. I'm going to be repenting next week of my gluttony. I'll be remembering what Luther says. If you're going to sin, sin boldly. not asking you to fast from food. I'm asking you to fast from voices. What would it look like if you just eliminated, just for this week, the voices that cause you to constantly be frustrated and angry when you turn it off? I can't believe that. This world we live in, going to hell in a handbasket. It'll be there after Thanksgiving. You'll see all kinds of stories about people just rushing on Black Friday. It's coming. It'll be there waiting for you. But what if you just took some time to just go, you know, I'm going to just turn the volume down there. And to the best of my ability, fast there. If it's all in what you scroll on and you just scroll away, and by the time you put your device down, you're frustrated and anxious, and just if you just want to post and just, I'm going to be a keyboard warrior this week for God. What if you just set that down and just said, show me your beauty, Lord. Remind me of what's good. My focus has been here in the trash. Would you set my mind and my heart on what's right and what's true and what's good and what's holy and what's beautiful? And just kind of recalibrate me a little bit. I believe he'll do it. If we immerse ourselves, our mind, our soul, our life in the promises of God and his beautiful truth, I believe we will be transformed. And the needle of our life will move a bit to looking more like who he intends us to be in the first place.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.